This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Oh, it's just a line from the song, yeah. Never mind. You were going to say? Was I going to listen? No.
No. Would you? Coming up after this music break, we're going to be talking to Joy Etwell, finding out her life story to this point in time. You're on Saturday Magazine with Leanne and Nick. Welcome back to Saturday Magazine. Yes, that was the original Soft
Tainted
Cell,
Love. Tainted Love. No, there's a Joy classic there, if there ever was.
That's right.
Now, speaking of Joy classics, you're here on Joy 94.9 and you're on Saturday Magazine. But we're also going to be talking with Joy.
That's right. We only interview people called Joy.
Do we? That's a good idea. So if your name's Joy and you'd like to be spoken with, give us a bell. But more importantly, we have here this morning Joy Ruth Etwell. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Wow. So we've got you in because you've just got a new job, I guess we'll call it job position, fairly high profile in the Melbourne community as a pastor of the Melbourne Community Church. But what we like to do in these journey segments is actually find out a little bit about how people's lives got to this particular point in time. So
that could be a bit scary.
It could be. And yours goes right back to the beginning. You've always been a Genesis. Now, speaking of Genesis, you've always had a relationship with God, but it's not always been a happy one.
No, it's not always been a really good one. God was certainly, when I was young, a man who sat on the throne, you know, with a beard and just waited for people to do something wrong and then punish them through the cult.
So the cult, what was the cult? You were born into this.
Yeah, I had no choice in that bit. It's called the Commonwealth Covenant Church, and it was only in New Zealand. And goodness knows what they believe, because I tried really hard not to actually listen. Mm-hmm. But it was fairly destructive and fairly emotionally abusive and physically abusive, but certainly not sexually abusive. But they sort of dictated every bit of your life, what you did, what you wore, who you married. And it was interesting because I always said from the time I was little, I'm never going to get married and have children, but not having any idea why.
Yeah.
And being a nonconformist, you know, baby lesbian in the making, it was a little difficult.
How early were you a nonconformist? Sounds like.
From the age of 5, I was labelled as a rebel and a troublemaker, So
what was trouble for them when you were 5, for God's sakes? For God's sakes!
Actually, questioning. Like what they said and what they told you to do, and that for them was you did not question.
That was a no-no.
But it was a very closed world. How do you know that there were options or you could do something different when it's...
Well, I didn't, because I didn't actually mix outside of their world. I mean, you went to church every night of the week and 3 times on Sunday you went to their school. So that's really the only world you knew, but something in me always questioned and wanted to know why they thought you should do this and that and the next thing. You know, and to put a baby lesbian in dresses and long hair and, you know, that's cruelty, really.
Was it conservative, obviously, in that sort of religious sense, conservative, but conservative in a social sense too? So girls wore dresses and had pink ribbons and all that
Stuff.
Yeah,
and you don't mix with the boys, and I really loved playing with the boys because it was much more fun. Mm. But if I got caught, I got in trouble. They'd stand you up in church and... tell everyone how bad you were and what you'd done.
At what age? Any age?
Yeah. And then when you got home, you got to hide in because you disgraced the family name.
I was
going to
ask you
name.
About your parents. What was their reaction to all this?
They just played along with it.
To the church's attitude?
Yeah.
But what about your behaviour? Weren't happy?
They weren't happy with it. Yeah, I used to get in trouble when I got home as well and spend hours in my room, but that didn't matter because I like reading, so, you know.
So what was your relationship with your parents like?
It wasn't good. I actually had a better relationship with my grandparents, who luckily lived in the same house with us. Mm. It was a big old house divided into two. They had a great sense of humour, and they, even though they belonged to the cult, especially my grandmother didn't really buy into a lot of that crap. So she actually, I used to spend hours in there.
A bit subversive, was she?
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, good on your gran.
She was more subtle than I was.
Golly. So that was all in New Zealand?
Yes.
In Auckland. How long did you stay in the cult?
Well, I was stayed till I was about 19. I was actually moved out of home because they decided my parents should move to another city, and so off they trotted and left me at home with my brothers and sister, who are older. And then the cult moved me, and then they said I could go home to my parents just for a holidays break after I finished school, and then I had to come back and get a job, and they had someone lined up that I was to marry.
Did you know who that was?
Yeah.
What was he like?
Oh, he was okay, but I didn't want to marry anyone. Yeah. and what they do is they marry you off, you then breed for them.
Yeah.
So I went home to my parents and I got a job, went out and got myself a job and rang them up and said, I'm not coming back.
Oh, wow.
And then started to drift away.
But what was the risk in doing that?
Excommunication was what happened. Mm. People wouldn't speak to me. So I lost all the friends I had and most of the family.
How much did that matter?
At the time, a lot. Mm. Because you really just, you know, they will cross over the other side of the street rather than speak to you.
And it's not a big town, New Zealand, is it?
Well, luckily my parents were in Auckland by then. So, I mean, I started making friends through work, which was fortunate. Mm. But then decided in 1979, gosh, it ages me, doesn't it, to move to Australia to get out of all that crap. Mm. So, yeah, I got on a plane and over I came.
Was that to get away?
Yeah, it was. I just didn't want to be a part of it all. And I thought, nah, I'm out of here.
You know, New Zealand is it's got quite a lot of these, you know, holy rollers and evangelicals and sort of churches, isn't it?
Well, I don't know.
Well, you're not the first person I spoke to from New Zealand who's kind of got over here to escape a fairly fundamental sort of Christian background.
Yeah, but I like the church now still exists, but in a different form. They supposedly are now free because that guy died.
So it's pretty much based around a single personality.
Yeah, when he died, it sort of changed. But they're still very much controlled about what they do and what they don't do. My parents are still a part of it, and my oldest brother is actually a minister.
Mm.
So imagine how he likes having a lesbian sister.
Well, how much do you know about that? Do you have any contact with them?
I have. He sent me an article when he found out, condemning homosexuals, that he'd written for the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good on him. Helpful.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, that was nice. I see him at funerals and the occasional wedding. That's about it. I'm not really that interested. I have a sister who's actually bisexual, so that's amazing to him on family.
So just the three of you, so you got the whole continuum.
No, there's four. There's four of us, there's two brothers. So I have a lot of contact with her, she's fabulous.
Mm. And that's good.
Yeah, the rest of them I'm over, really.
And her parents are still alive?
Yep.
Yeah, so you don't have a lot of contact apart from those significant family.
Yeah, I mean, I went over for my mother's birthday recently, and you stay for about 3 or 4 days, and that's enough. Yeah. You know, you don't stay with them. Yeah. You stay. Mm. You know, my sister she lives in Auckland. She always meets me there, and we
whisk you off.
Stay in Wellington and visit occasionally. Yeah.
So, were you aware, Joy, of your sexuality before you left New Zealand, or was that part of coming to the great brown land?
I never heard of it. Never heard of homosexuality. It was not spoken about.
We wouldn't have had a big circle of friends outside of the cult if that's where you were sort of really grew up and contained. I mean, you got the job, so you had some friends outside of work, but I mean, outside in work, but.
Yeah, and all the friends I did make were all straight.
I was going to say, because what, in your late teens?
Yeah, about 18, 19, I started hitting the night spots and going out and getting drunk, enjoying life.
So what sort of work did you do when you.
Just as a female in the church, you were only allowed to go and get an office job.
Ah.
You weren't allowed to get higher education. Guys could, but not the woman. And you got an office job because they expect at the age of 20 you would be married and you wouldn't work again.
You'd be breeding.
Breed.
So they don't put too much, you know, investment into you.
Yeah.
That's all. In fact, you've brought along a song that sort of, I guess, sums up how you felt when you broke free.
Yeah.
Intro this for us?
The only music we were allowed was, of course, Christian music. And my parents, I don't know if you heard of Jim Reeves.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that was the only music we were allowed to hear. So when I was sort of on the way out, I went out and brought meatloaf. And when they used to go out to church, I used to turn up full bore.
So this is what the community got.
And here it is, Bat Outta Hell. And welcome back to Saturday Magazine with Nicolie Ann, and we're talking with Joy Etwell.
And we have, just before I'll interrupt, we have some Joys to say hello to.
We do.
I want to say hello to Joy and Huss, if you're listening out there. They're Frisbee champions.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
I want to say hello to Joy from Bundoora, who rang in to say hello.
Great.
My mum's a Joy as
well.
Is
she?
Yep.
Good. I know of another Joy, but I'm not saying hello to her because apparently she's awful and she wouldn't be listening anyway.
Well, there we go. That's, well, yes. She's the, you know, most Joys are nice. And
my friend Kay's mum, yeah. Oh. There you are.
Well, there you go.
So not all Joys are great, but we have a great Joy with us this morning.
We do. And we're hearing Joy Etwell's life story. We've got as far as that she escaped the cult.
Bat out of hell.
Like a bat out of hell.
Came to Melbourne. Well, Melbourne or Sydney?
No, straight to Melbourne.
Great.
Did you know anything about it?
No, but it's funny though. I arrived and a friend told me that her sister lived here. And I arrived when the Collingwood Carlton grand final was about to be on, so was thrown into this craziness of Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
But then these people I was staying with turned out to be drug dealers.
No.
So that was pretty
nice
exciting.
For you, yes.
So I escaped from there pretty quickly.
I thought you were going to say they were Collingwood supporters.
No, they were Carlton
what
supporters.
What supporters? Yes.
So that wasn't your scene, obviously.
No. You know, I tried it, but it was not, you know, I was not really into it.
But you didn't inhale. But you said you lived a pretty wild life. What did that mean for you?
Oh, going out, getting drunk every night, going out to nightclubs. Mm-hmm.
Were you an identified lesbian by that stage?
No, still not aware of that. Mm. I used to have sex with men, but really didn't enjoy it, but that was sort of an expectation of you.
That's the getting drunk part.
Yeah, that helped at times.
Makes them look more attractive, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah.
So where did you go from there? You said you hadn't any no higher education, so what was your skill base and what was your expectation of life in Melbourne?
Oh, initially not a lot. I just worked in payroll by then, and I arrived at a really good time when there was lots of jobs. So I had a choice of a job and found somewhere to live. And the future was not something I ever really considered because I never saw marriage and children in my future, like all my friends were thinking about. So I never really thought about it too much.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long did this phase go on for?
Oh, I don't know, about probably 6 years, 7 years off
good
and on.
Lord, woman.
I know, wild.
Yeah. Well, so what was, how did the change come about? Because you did, something did change, didn't it?
Yeah, I started wondering about churches. You know, you'd hear about churches on radio, TV or whatever, and I started wondering what they're actually like. So I started sort of sneaking in the back and listening, and then before the final hymn, I would sneak out the back and race down the street. And one time this minister followed me down the street, invited me for lunch, and that was sort of started to build a friendship with them. And but I still struggled a bit because it was a church where they still told you, a certain extent, like they wanted you to sign this thing that said you wouldn't drink or smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, no bloody way,
yeah.
I'm
going to
do that, you know. So I drifted in a lot of churches.
Mm-hmm. So that your relationship with God still had some meaning and power for you then?
Well, no, it was more my relationship with the people who supposedly represented God rather than a direct relationship with
That's
God.
That's quite different. Then.
Yes, it is. And that sort of came a lot later. So for a long time, I drifted in and out. And I found it hard because when I did realise I was a lesbian, I was actually thrown out of a church. So
it for was, being a lesbian?
Yeah, for not being willing to change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit like being a little girl back at the cult and being held up or thrown out for misbehaving again.
Yeah, they were going to, they said that they had a process of dealing with people like me. Mm-hmm. And they'd sent me off to Exodus to get made straight, and luckily I failed.
What did they do there?
Well, they just counselled you, supposedly, and told you it all came from your parents or some such stuff. And then one time I turned up and this other person turned up and I said, what's going on here? Oh, we're going to do an exorcism. Mm. And I went, oh, no, you're not. And now I'm out of here, you know.
On you?
Yeah. Gee. And I said, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. So I just left and I went back to the church and said, look, you know, this is who I am. I've got to work out how I live with this. And
so all throughout your life, even from a little girl, you've had a fairly strong will and even a sense of, what you didn't, you knew quite clearly what you didn't want, even if you weren't clear about what you did want to do.
Yeah, and I think that's helped me survive because some of it was fairly traumatizing and
some of it, yeah, fairly, yeah.
And I think it yeah.
Helped well, have me you survive. Dealt with? I mean, some of it's very traumatizing. How have you dealt with that?
Luckily, I found a really good counselor early in the piece who was not a Christian, actually. So that was probably a good thing because they didn't put any beliefs on me. So I actually went to counselling because I didn't want to be affected the rest of my life by what I'd been through.
How old were you then?
Oh, it was, well, probably when I was about 30, I think I started and went for quite a few years to counselling. I think that really saved me in many ways.
Now, let's fast forward very quickly. You've just been installed as the new pastor of the MCC. You also have a job.
I do.
Yep, which is?
I work with the State Emergency Service. Mm-hmm. I'm in their clinical officer with their peer support.
Okay, that's like counselling and
We provide psychological care for our volunteers. Mm-hmm. So I actually joined SES when I was down in the country. My partner and I were down at Port Ferry, and it was a way to meet people, and I joined. And some of the things you see and some of the accidents I've been to are pretty horrific. Yeah. You know, you're dealing with stuff that no one normally deals with. And I joined peer support as a volunteer then. And we do a whole range of things, like we do unit awareness in the units to talk about critical incident stress, what it is and how they can look after themselves. That we then go in and do interventions if they've been to a particularly nasty accident or incident. We do interventions like a diffusing, which is a group process, or we do a lot of one-on-one work. And we have about 60 volunteers around Victoria, and so I work with a psychologist and we run that.
So it's very supportive, important, community-based people together.
Yeah.
Let's go back to then 30. I mean, was this the sort of thing you had in your sights, in your mind when you were...
Not an idea.
No.
I was working in aged care by then. I'd done my registered... Division 2 nursing and had been working in aged care, which I enjoyed, and I got out of the hands-on. I was in doing work cover and occ health and safety. And then when I moved back to Melbourne, SES said, we've got a job for you.
So when did you come out to yourself? I'm cogging all the questions here.
That's all right. I'm listening. I'm entranced.
It was back in the 1990s, it would have been.
Last century.
Yeah, it was. I know.
We all have history in the last century. Okay.
So nursing? Because there's a lot of women in nursing.
Yes. Yeah, but the person that I fell madly in lust with was not a lesbian. She was just stunning, and I just thought, whoa,
what's
where did this come from? Yeah. What's going on here?
Is she a workmate?
Yeah.
Yeah,
always. And she was just absolutely gorgeous.
How old are you?
I was probably about 30, yeah.
So this is kind of, you've started to, you've got into your counselling, settled down a bit, and whoosh.
Yeah.
What was it like?
Amazing. Yeah. It was exciting, but it was also scary. It was like, what is going on?
Well, I guess you'd always known they weren't going to get married and have kids, and you'd been sort of living a bit of the wild life and sleeping with the guys and doing whatever. It wasn't doing it for you. I guess to fall in love, and or lust, or both, must have been pretty strong feelings for you to contend with.
Yeah, it was. And of course, I couldn't tell them.
And she wasn't reciprocating either, so that probably wouldn't have been.
No, definitely not. She was.
Did she know?
No.
Does she know to this day? We can tell her.
What's her phone number? We'll get her on the air.
I don't know. I deny knowing anything.
So that awakening, what did you do after that?
Well, I spent a while trying to work out what the heck it meant, because I was getting back into Christianity, and then I started hearing about homosexuality in the church I was in, but it was always as a negative.
Yeah,
you know, you'd hear homosexual, evil sinner, you know,
all the same sentence.
So then it was like, well, how do I live with this? Doesn't mean I have to remain celibate, because I knew right from then that's who I was. You know, it all made sense. And when I look back at my life, it just made so much sense that, yes, this is who you've always been.
Is that a good feeling?
Yeah, because it explains a lot, doesn't it, really, when you look back and you think, well, this is...
Coming home.
Yeah.
That's good.
This is me. So for a while I really struggled with, do I have to remain celibate? What does it mean for me? And I actually started coming out before I actually even got a girlfriend, which I found sometimes was a bit easier because it wasn't like, this is who I am, this is my girlfriend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, so a reaction to both those things, just one.
But one of the biggest supports I had was actually one of the lecturers at the Baptist Theological College, who said in class that it was okay to be homosexual and a Christian.
And that's the first time you ever heard that.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. And then she said, oh, if anyone wants to talk about it, my door will be open after class.
Fantastic. So you were studying theology at this point.
What took you back there?
To theology.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was doing it and I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'd just be interested to do it to see what, you know, it's on what about, really.
Mm.
Because, you know, you hear all these churches and they interpret it how they want to interpret it. And I thought, it'd be quite interesting to do some study. You know, I quite enjoy study.
Mm.
So I only started it just out of interest.
And that wasn't an option available to you if you'd stayed in the cult. You couldn't have used your mind. You couldn't have studied.
Oh, no, they don't have females as any sort of leadership role. Mm.
So it was important for you to get out of there for every reason, really.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
You don't want to live your life in that.
No regrets on that one.
No. I've been back to a couple of things and you see the people that, I mean, they're quite funny because they come up and go, remember me? And I go, no. Because quite frankly, I don't. Yeah. Unless I'm related to them, and why would I remember them?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at them and think, oh, what an awful life. Mm. Imagine, you know, they're married with my best friend and at the time she's married with 5 kids, you know. Horrible life.
Mm.
So back to the theology college, did you go and knock on that lecturer's door?
Or? I did.
And?
Yeah, I just talked about what was going on for me, and she suggested I go to MCC.
Mm-hmm. Community Church.
Yeah.
That was going, it's been going a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah. I'm not sure how many years. I know it's 40 when it started in America, so I'm not sure how many years it started after that. And
I reckon it must be knocking up about 20 years because I reckon we talked about it recently. So
now you've brought another track in, Joy. This is a religious track.
Yes.
From your collection. So we've gone from Bad Out of Hell to
we're going to a version of Amazing Grace. When I got ordained, my brother actually said to me one time, he said, at a funeral or anything like that, you should have songs that everyone knows so that it doesn't sound awful when they sing. So when I got ordained recently, I decided to take that advice on board and pick songs that were important to me. Amazing Grace is a fabulous song that everyone knows, but this is a slightly different version. So,
right.
Well, let's have a listen to it. Amazing Grace, we've been talking with Joy Etwell here on Joy 94.9. And you're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy with Nick and Leanne. Our special guest this morning is Joy Etwell, who's been entertaining us, really, with her life story, how she escaped the cult in New Zealand, got to Melbourne, went wild.
Right out of hell.
And ended up at Theology College after doing some nursing, discovered her sexuality in a very profound way by falling in lust but getting herself up and dusting herself off again.
Yep.
And we've got a few more minutes, Joy, to hear how you got to be the pastor of the Melbourne Community Church.
Because you're just 2 weeks into the job?
Yes, I am, yeah. I started going when it was in South Melbourne. It was mainly guys then, but I really enjoyed it. And then because I was already studying theology, I guess they started involving me in services and I started working towards ministry. Then I met my partner, Gwen, who's a United Church minister, and we ended up going to the country for about 5 years with her work. And
that's when you became involved with the SES?
Yes, yeah, that's right. And it was a bit hard to get back to church on a Sunday night when I had to be at work on Monday morning, so that was a bit of a shame. We really missed being a part of MCC. When we moved back, the agreement was that the next move would be for my career, but I didn't imagine that would actually be as minister of Metropolitan Community Church Melbourne. And we moved back and I went, started going to the church again, and someone mentioned that Heather was retiring and wasn't going to apply for the position, and it sort of came out of the blue. And I'd done most of what I needed to be actually ordained. I just needed to do an interview, so I spent some time thinking about it and praying about it and thought, yeah, I'm going to go for this. So I applied to be ordained and applied for ordination and for the role at MCC. And luckily they employed me.
Excellent. So, and do you still work with the SES?
I do.
Did you have any, you had something to do with the bushfires and things to do?
Yes, the day after the bushfires, I went into and worked in Marysville for 6 weeks, just working with the emergency service people who were, you know, searching for bodies. And, it was a pretty horrific time, especially since I had lived there for 2.5 years.
Oh, really?
So I actually knew the town.
It was your town as well. Yeah.
I had friends, a gay couple, Rod and Barry, who were actually had a B&B in Marysville, and the day after I was searching for them, went to the evacuation centre and managed to find them and have kept in contact with them also.
What are they up to?
Well, they've brought now a gorgeous B&B called Barnsley House in Beechworth, which is built in 1859.
Oh, wonderful. Sounds good. And just stunning.
Mm.
Yeah. So they're struggling because they're so far from their community in Marysville. And also they used to come down to Melbourne to church and occasionally. So
that's even further. Well, look them up. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, people, well, certainly wish them the best.
Mm. Yeah.
So what's your plans for the church, for the MCC? Do you...
I actually plan to have a leaders' retreat, which we're going to do at the end of November. I'm very aware that there's so many services out in our community that we want to discover what we can offer that's not already there, a different dimension. You know, I don't believe that the only way to have a spiritual life is to be a Christian. I think that's one option. Mm. And for some people that's important, that they go where they can be free to be who they are and
just don't just sound like
worship.
An Anglican. Yes.
Well, that's a worry.
You don't really have to believe in God to go to church. Shouldn't say that. But you're saying that people who have a spiritual who want a spiritual dimension, I was going to use the word hunger, but that kind of sounds needy. Some people are. But for a spiritual dimension in their lives, how are you going to open that for them?
Well, I think we offer a worship service that is fairly lively, a worship service that hopefully is fairly transforming for people. We don't and will never tell people how to live their lives or what to do. You know, that's not what we're on about. Mm. And hopefully people can come along, can be part of that service and find somewhere where they can tap into a relationship with God that's a relationship between them and God, not through the minister or through anyone else. Like I struggled with for so many years. And I think when that can happen, that people can feel free and be who they really are.
Do you think, Joy, that your, well, negative experiences in many church environments has sort of influenced the way that you approach the role?
I think so, because I'm very, very aware of not wanting to control anyone in any way. I think, I'm very also aware that the best way that you can minister to people is to encourage them to have their own relationship with God and not based on myself or anyone else.
And do you define God?
No. God is, for me, is not a person. God is a spirit. God's not male or female. It can be both. Dimensions are both. I don't have a concrete...
No
God
more the old
such.
Man sitting up on the throne.
Nah, pushed him off.
Great.
Gave him the flick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we might finish off with one more song that you've come in. I think it'd be appropriate to have Katie Lang singing Hallelujah.
Oh, I think so. Mm.
Did you play this at the ordination as well?
No, I didn't. It's just a song that I love. And everyone loves Katie Lang, don't they?
Exactly.
She's getting pretty close to God on earth.
We actually had a text message in from Patrick, who's listening in from Brisbane. So he's listening in online at joy.org.au, who says he wants to know who was singing Amazing Grace. It's Michael W. Smith from the CD A New Hallelujah. Patrick said he loved it and they wanted to thank us all for the great program and loves us all. So g'day, Patrick, up there. Glad you're enjoying the show. And I think Joy said there's some great tracks on the Michael W. Smith album with a religious bent but quite differently done. So
this has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Can I just give you the address of...
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.